started recording.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Mark.
Hello and welcome everyone to a special edition of Current Events, the podcast about two random guys watching television on the internet.
That's us, man.
Actually, tonight's a special episode because we're not watching television. We are talking about the best movies of post-Star Wars up through 1989.
Science fiction,
that's right, yes.
And don't want to bite off more than we can chew here.
Yeah, and a pretty broad definition of science fiction, too. So.
Yes. Stuff we watched that was kind of science fiction. Mm-hmm. So.
And I remember, yes. You know, I remember saying before we started this, I thought we were going to have trouble finding 10.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
As like, usual.
There was like, and I must have watched all, 80s must have been movie paradise for me, because it was just like, I couldn't believe the list.
Yes, absolutely. And I sort of in my mind, I thought, well, you know, all of that science fiction from the 80s was just so cheesy. And actually, when we started this, it was supposed to go through 1999. Right.
Yeah.
And I hastily emailed you and said, I've already got too many and I'm not out of the 80s yet.
Yes, I know. Yes. There were so many on my list that I did not want to cut.
Yeah, me too.
This was a real trial.
Yeah, and
so I had to use other criteria. Like
things I
bought or things that I just always, if I see it on TV, I always watch it again.
Right.
So
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, one of the big things was like, well, since this is my favorite, then, you know, one of the criteria that I can put in is I don't particularly care for cheese. I think it's fun, you know, but it's not going to ever make one of my favorite lists, especially not when up against better movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of the ones that, you know, I thought definitely were going to go on the list did not make the list. Didn't even make honorable mentions.
Yeah, yeah. I have 40 honorable mentions. Yeah,
I've got four, and okay. I'm going to have to say a max of 5. At some point, we just have to have a rule about it.
I know. Yep. I'm going to have to I'll have to go in through and pick a few that I would have liked but didn't. But anyway, we'll do those at the end, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that this works is we start at 10 and we count down to 1. We each mention a film at that slot. And we don't talk about a movie unless the other person doesn't have it on their list or the other person has already mentioned it so that we can both talk about it.
Yes. Okay. So do we talk about it second?
Yes.
I have one at 10 and you have the same one at 4, we wait until 4?
Right. I'll say I have it on my list and then we'll just move on to the next one and then we'll talk about it when we get to number 4.
Cool.
Okay.
So I think I went first last time, so.
Okay, so I'll go first. So number 10 for me was Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1978, I think, 78, 79.
Yep. That's on my list. Yeah, it's just not on my, it's not on my top 10. It's on my honorable mentions.
Oh, okay, all right. So,
you can talk about it.
Yeah, this to me was such a groundbreaking film because I grew up watching the black and white version.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in a small town, which is a classic sort of horror novel move, you know, is to isolate your characters by putting them in a small area. And somehow, you know, Kaufman managed to move this to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
He got major stars to act in it, and he made it like a real movie, which at the time was a little bit rare.
Yep.
And and it was so good in that creepy ending. Do you remember the ending of Invasion of the Body
Snatchers? Oh, I thought no, I don't. I don't remember.
Oh yeah. So we think that this Veronica, what's her last name? The one from Alien. We think that she's been turned, and she's kind of walking zombily through the city that's now been totally taken over, and she sees Donald Sutherland, and she says, "Oh, it's you!" And he turns to her, and he does the scream and points her out. You know, and it's like he's been turned. I was like, oh, it's just so good.
Yep.
And the scene where they find, first of all, he has to use a shovel to destroy a copy of himself that's growing in the garden. Oh my God, such meta horror, terrible.
Yes.
And then the other one was where the two pods of the busker and his dog had kind of gotten melded together, and it comes up with the dog body and the man face.
Oh.
Just great. This is the kind of thing you would expect from David Cronenberg. You know, I mean, it was for Philip Kaufman did a great job. Yep. What's your number 10?
So, yeah, my list is going to be things I enjoyed. So they might not be great movies, but they were.
And that
they
was were, the criteria, absolutely.
That's the criteria, mm-hmm. Yep. My number 10 is Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, 1981.
Interesting. Okay, I don't have it on my list, so we can go ahead and talk about it.
Right. I just, to me, it was such a, if this was a just post-college time thing, mm-hmm. and it was just such a culty, wonderful, weird, completely off the roadmap kind of movie that it was way better than Mad Max and way better than anything that followed it, but I just really enjoyed all of the just the bizarreness of it.
And one of your favorite actresses was in it too.
Yes.
What's her name? Do you bother looking it up? But she plays the blue lady on Farscape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Virginia.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
And she had that big. And it's so funny because you know everybody in the compound had that big, you know, blonde hair that had been blown out, right? And then you know her next role is on Farscape. She's got a shaved head.
Shaved head and bald.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, she probably had some roles in the middle there. I didn't actually follow
she's
her career.
Australian,
but
so yeah.
Yes, but so it was. Anyway, yes, I don't know. I thoroughly enjoyed the.
Yeah, that was one. Honestly, I loved Mad Max, and I'll talk about it later because it's on my list. But I never really liked the sequels very much until Fury Road, which I think is the best.
Fury Road was very good too. But we can't count that.
No, can't count that. We'll be talking about that someday. But yeah,
someday,
not right now.
But not now.
Okay, so my number 9 is Mad Max, the original.
Okay,
and
cool.
I love that movie. And one of the things that I love about a science fiction film, especially like a near future societal kind of science fiction film, sociological, is when it hints about a world more than it tells you about the world.
Yes, right? Exactly.
And Mad Max, the original, just sort of takes place in this world, and you feel it beyond the characters and beyond the spaces that you see, but they never take you there. They never explain anything, and you know, or how we got there, and I saw that movie on HBO when we first got HBO, back in 1979 or whatever it was, and was just fascinated by it, and also thought it was an Italian movie because it was dubbed.
Yes.
To come to find out that you know the studio was afraid that Americans wouldn't be able to understand the Australians,
the accents. Yes, like,
which
might have been
true, to be honest.
Yeah, at that point. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Mad Max was on my honorable mentions list.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what's your number 9?
Ghostbusters, 1984.
Okay, yeah, I don't have that, so let's talk about it.
Yeah, the thing that I remember most about this was sitting in the theater and falling out of my seat at the end when Mr. Tay Puffed comes around the corner. It was just, I don't know whether we had like a beer before the movie or something, but I almost peed my pants laughing, and I don't know why it was so funny at the time, but it just.
Well, it's a very funny movie. I mean, the reason it's not on my list is one of the criteria that I had to impose just to get the list down was the idea that a comedy is not really a science fiction film. It's a comedy that takes place within the structure of sort of a science fiction matrix, you know.
Oh, I can give you that, but, you know,
Oh, no, but I mean, that's just my own personal criteria, absolutely. So I needed a way to cut a bunch of them, and there were several really funny ones in there that I needed to get rid of.
Yeah, but yeah, so anyway, yeah, I just, this was sort of Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis at their,
genius.
Peak movies.
Yeah, absolutely, it's just genius. It is absolutely hilarious, and it seemed like something new at the time.
Right? Yes, it did.
We had been getting a kind of steady stream of sort of average comedies until the Bill Murray came on the scene with these bizarre films, and you know, were just awesome, and it felt new. Stripes felt new. you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, and his Caddyshack was just
Caddyshack. Yeah. Oh, exactly. It was a new sensibility.
Yes.
And so that it was definitely a groundbreaking film and a great film. I just had to think of a reason not to put it on my list.
Put it on the list. I hear you. Okay, go ahead.
Number eight, Scanners.
Yep. That was a good one. Not on my list. Yeah, go ahead and talk about it. We might not overlap at all here because there's just so many.
There were so many. That's true. I think that for me, it was very difficult to get Scanners on the list because of a couple of weird mistakes that Cronenberg made with the film. But in the end, I was so obsessed with this movie that anytime it came on television, I would just stop what I was doing and watch it, you know?
Yep.
And one of the things that he did that I've never understood this choice, but he chose an artist friend of his for the main role.
Hmm.
Who was such a bad actor that they had to dub all of his lines.
Oh.
Right? So it was like if he had just hired a decent actor, it would have been great. And you've got Michael Ironside, what's his name?
Ironside, yeah.
Yeah. You know, who's just chewing up the scenery, and next and across from him is this guy who can't act to save his life. It's crazy. So that was difficult, but I will never forget the feeling I had when I went into the theater and watched it, and it opened with the exploding head, and they never told you really at that point what was going on. And
Ron,
it was I was so hooked. I watched that movie. I also love Patrick McGoohan, you know, he's in the movie, and it was just so great. So Scanners, despite a really obvious flaw, still made my list.
Oh, that's great.
What's your number eight? Now,
this next one's weird, and it's because I have specific connections to it. Tron, 1982.
I had a quite a bit of a debate about that. It did not end up making my list.
Yes, and again, so the reason that I really like this one is at the time, I was hugely into computer graphics animation, and it was, for its time, groundbreaking in kind of in the things that it tried to do. I mean, it wasn't the best special effects or anything, but the best sort of one of the digital things that it was doing, you know, digital effects of the time.
Oh, I remember that being a constant topic of discussion on Entertainment Tonight and just wherever you went, you know, they would be talking about Tron's special effects.
Yeah, and I was a member of SIGGRAPH at the time, which was the big graphics thing, and we went to all the conferences every year. And I worked at Lawrence Livermore at the time, where they filmed part of it.
Oh, that always helps, yes.
Yes, so it was, you know, we actually got to, you know, walk by the sets and stuff. It was just fantastic.
Were you into software development at this point when you
saw it? Okay. Yes, it was actually my first job out of grad school.
Okay. It's funny because part of what may have kicked it off my list is the fact that I find the concepts a little bit ridiculous now that I'm a software developer.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So maybe in retrospect, I'm like, meh, you know. But at the time, I wasn't into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know. And I found the movie bewitching, but I also kind of felt like they had taken another movie and put it in the special effects.
Right? Yes.
There was nothing particularly Tron about Tron. You know, it was just that could have been a Western. It could have been, you know, right. So I guess in a way...
Well, Bruce Boxleitner, it could have been a Western.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot he was in it, right? It was Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, but Tron was...
And I remember when I got my first little PC, which was a keyboard PC, and it had BASIC built in, and it had the Tron key, and I thought, whoa! So anyway, it was a good movie. I didn't particularly care for the sequel. I kind of felt like they lived in the uncanny valley in that movie because they had rendered so many people, they just still can't do that very well, but absolutely agree. I think it was a groundbreaking movie, and it really kind of opened the way for computer graphics.
Yep.
Just didn't make it to my list.
Yep, that's okay.
Okay, number seven. Escape from New York.
Oh, now I had such a hard time with that, especially because we watched it as part of our bad movie night, and it was just every time that's on, I watch it.
Yep.
It's just, I went through the bottom of my list was the sort of frivolous ones, and then I started getting serious about it.
Yeah.
Except for one other one, but I love that movie. It was just, it was a check. I'm thinking Jack Burton.
Snake Plissken.
Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
It was a vehicle for him.
Yeah, just, I mean, it was really interesting because Kurt Russell decided to leave acting because he'd been a child actor and he wanted to play professional baseball. And he blew out his knee in the minors and had to come back to acting. And he had to destroy his old clean as a whistle look. And he did Cars first, used Cars first, which is an absolutely hilarious film.
We also saw that one.
We did. And I never thought of this as a bad movie. I thought of Escape from New York as a fun movie that we could watch.
Yeah, well, it was fun. I mean, yeah.
And then he did this, which he basically just ripped off Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
Which he says is absolutely true. But yeah, I love the film. I watch it probably once a year, and I never cease to enjoy it.
Yep. It's we've got the recording.
Yeah.
Yes, it was so fun and so Kurt Russell.
Yes. Yeah, it really kind of provided the foundation for what he was going to do with the rest of his career.
Yeah.
What's your number 7?
2010, made in 1984.
Yes.
The sequel to 2001.
Yes.
And I think 2001 was obviously, it was much more groundbreaking in what it did, but 2010 I just enjoyed so much.
Well,
it had who's the guy?
Roy Scheider.
My act. Roy Scheider. And the guy from Third Rock.
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow in
it.
And I thought he did a really great job. We just really enjoyed the movie. And I always go back to it when I see
it. I enjoyed it too. I think it's a better movie than 2001 because it's an actual movie. 2001 is weird. And as much as I love 2001, it's really a part of its era. You know, it ends with basically an LSD trip. You know, but I never thought of 2001 as being particularly coherent. That comes down to Kubrick, I think. But 2010 is a great movie. I enjoyed the book too. It's just that it didn't crack my sky.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so I just have to kind of pick. And there were ones when I was going through the list that I wrote mandatory next to, right, that didn't make it.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Yeah, I had to pick. Basically, a lot of this was things I actually own, felt strongly enough to actually go buy them.
Yep.
Clearly, that was, you know, even not even just watch them, but go own them. So
this
is one of those.
My number 6 is Brazil.
Oh, yes, on my list. Oh, man.
In
my top 10.
Mentions, yes.
On my honorable mentions.
Your list of 40 honorable mentions.
Mentions, yes.
Brazil was an interesting film for me because I was deployed overseas at the time, and so we only got one movie a month to show in the base theater, and it would show for 3 days. So I wasn't really keeping up with movies as much as I was renting videos from the base video store. I was in Italy at the time.
Yeah.
And I was reading an article about the fact that basically the studio had tried to kill Brazil. They saw the movie. They hated it.
I can believe it. Yes. I can believe it.
Yeah. And I said, well, I've got to see that movie. I mean, anytime a studio tries to kill a film, you know it's going to be good, right?
Yeah.
So I had to wait on a list to get the tape, and I got the tape. And unfortunately, I mean, it didn't affect how much I love the movie, but I also picked that week to quit smoking.
Oh.
And I had been smoking just like 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I had just gone way over, and my body was just suffused with nicotine. So the withdrawal was insane, and I had hallucinations. and
with this movie, oh man,
watching this movie with hallucinations, I would not take mushrooms and watch this movie. Let's put it that way.
Oh no.
Yeah. So it's indelibly, you know, scratched into the inside of my skull, but I still thought it was amazing.
Yes, it was. It was a great fun movie. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. Yep.
What's your number six?
My favorite Star Trek movie, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yes, I have that on my list.
Okay, so it must be up higher.
It is up higher, yes.
Okay, so we will talk about that later.
Yes, later on. So my number five is Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, yes. We agreed on one. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when I have said before, I am a defender of Star Trek One,
right? Yes.
Because, you know, watching it for years and years and years on a tiny television screen, just getting to see those special effects was worth the money.
Yeah.
But this is an actual good movie.
Yes.
And with a great story and a rollicking adventure. And you know, really gives.
And Ricardo Montalban.
And Ricardo Montalban, who, if you think about it, is the perfect opposite for scenery chewing, opposite Kirk, right?
Yes, yes.
Because they're both old school, over the top, big actors, right? You know, Kirk has a cummerbund holding his gut in, and Ricardo Montalban has a fake chest.
it was so perfect.
It was so good, and it was one of the first times. Actually, I think it was the first time we ever saw damage to a starship from a phaser blast. Right, things actually flew away. There was, you know, it would look
pieces.
Considered just like shaking the bridge, which is,
yep.
you know, what I always kind of thought the phaser did was it just shook
and
the bridge.
Breach on deck 15. You know, it's
yeah. They went one better in the Star Trek reboot when they showed a person being sucked down into space.
yes.
Just awesome. I love that movie. It's perfect. I would take it with me to the desert island.
Yep. Wrath of Khan. It was and the storyline was good, mm-hmm. and the acting was fun, and the, you know, everybody played their part to a T. It just really worked well.
And they even managed to paper over the suddenly arriving child, right?
Yes,
which is
yes.
always difficult in these movies. It's like, we've known this character for 30 years. He doesn't have any children. Suddenly, he's got a grown son.
Yes. Whoops. Little dalliance there. Often, he was always stopping on a planet, and, you know.
You got to figure that Kirk has children all over the universe, right? The galaxy, right?
And some of them are green, and some of them are blue, and some of them got extra arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so my number four.
Wait, I haven't done my five yet.
Oh, no, that's right, Okay, yeah, so what's your five?
Okay, my five is my last fun one. Well, I mean, my last sort of odd one, which is, again, a John Lithgow vehicle. Mm. His best, in my opinion, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Yeah, I have that in my honorable mentions. That was in there to the last culling.
Yes.
It is one of my favorite movies.
I love that movie. It never gets the credit, as far as I'm concerned, it never gets the credit that it was due. It just had so much fun stuff going on in it.
Yeah.
And John Lithgow was just the most excellent, insane alien that I have ever seen.
And this is like the first time we really understood that, you know, John Lithgow is a nuclear meltdown of overacting, right? I mean, in a great way, and I mean that only in the best terms. I will watch anything that he's in. I had actually seen him in the movie Blowout,
yes,
where he played a psychopathic serial killer, and he toned it way down in that movie compared to what he does in everything else, and he must have been a little nervous about going big.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but yeah, it was just, I just loved him in this movie.
Yes,
his quotes always go through. When somebody says something, one of his quotes immediately comes to my mind.
And it's that is a movie that has no dead space.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's like Die Hard. You can't drink a whole soda right before the movie starts.
That's right.
Which is what I did with Die Hard.
Oh, yeah.
We got there early because, you know, we didn't have assigned seating back then, mm-hmm. and it was packed. And so my sister and I went, and we got our, you know, giant soda and giant popcorns and and sat down and waited for the doors to open. And I just, once I start with popcorn, I can't stop. And so I was just like, you know, a handful of popcorn, swallow the Coke. I drank that whole thing before we even got in the theater. Mm-hmm. And then sat down, and about 30 minutes into the movie, I was like, oh, crap.
really got to go bad. To the bathroom
and could not leave, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so it's the same way with this, with Buckaroo Banzai. I mean, it just moves at a real clip.
Yep. Yes. And it's something that we watch frequently.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw it on Bad Movie Night, didn't we?
Yeah. Or Fun Movie Night. Remember, we changed that from Bad Movie Night to Movie Night because we stopped watching bad movies after Ankle Biters.
Ankle Biters. What was that? Ankle Biters. That was the, 3 foot tall.
3 foot tall vampires. Dwarf vampires.
Four inch fangs.
Local. Yes.
2 foot. 2 foot tall. 4 inch. 3 foot tall. 4 inch fangs. Something like that. Something that was like their tagline.
Like locally made in Georgia or something. I mean, it was literally the bottom rung of anything we've ever seen. And that includes The Room.
Yes.
So I was like, after that, I was like, man, I can't go back in.
Yeah, I know. Did you? By the way, did you ever see the mockumentary of The Room or whatever it was?
The Disaster Artist?
Yeah.
No, I never did.
I never did either.
I felt like, curious. You know, once I was inoculated, I had seen The Room and I was inoculated against The Room. I did not need to go back in to The Room.
Yes, I have people who feel that way about Cats. I never saw it, but they just, it was so bizarre.
Cats, my God. I saw the stage play. Well,
No, this was the movie where they had the digitally rendered fur that was missing in some spots. It was just bad. Anyway. Yes, okay. So, on to number four.
On to number four. Now, I literally just did an edit inline edit as we were talking. And I won't tell you what movie I pulled out until we get to honorable mentions. But I will tell you the movie I put in at number four is Aliens.
Ah. I have that up in the list.
Yeah, okay. Is it on, so we need to wait to talk about it?
We need to wait. Okay. This is on, this is in my top 10.
So what's your number four?
My number four is Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Of all the Star Wars, this was my favorite because it didn't end well. The bad guy, the good guys did not win this one. And that just made it, what do you mean? The space opera, the good guys don't win. And so that also the fact that it was a little bit more somber, it wasn't so rollicking. It was very much it's the only Star Wars I put in, but I had to put in one because it was the phenomena. And since it's the next one, it made my list. It was, I mean, this of all of the thing, you know, we would do Star Wars marathons every 3 years, and so it's always there. It's just it was a continuation of the phenomena that was Star Wars for me.
Yeah, it was very good, and it gave me an unfounded hope for the rest of the series.
Yes, unfounded. Yes. True.
Yeah, because it was kind of like if you went from Harry Potter book 1 to Harry Potter book 7. Right.
Yeah.
In one step, because he went from making a kid's movie in Star Wars to making a grown-ups movie in The Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
There was very little of that stilted dialogue that is still kind of funny about episode 4, you know, and would get really bad in episode 6.
Yes. Yes.
And then from then on. It felt like it's a much better film than the first one, but it doesn't have that rousing cheer at the end that everybody remembers from the first one, you know.
Yes.
So I think it gets a little unremembered, but it's definitely a better movie. And I'll tell you right now, that is the movie I just pulled out to put Aliens in. The reason was I felt like, well, I have to have a Star Wars movie in the list.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is that, you know, as impactful as they were, like the first one is not, I love it, but it's flawed.
Yes.
And the second one is very good, but it's not as good as a lot of other films. And
that's true.
And then,
true.
Of course, it did build up that false hope, and we go to the third one.
Yeah,
terrible.
Shattered.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just, but I looked at my list and I just happened to notice I didn't have Aliens on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I've seen that movie 120 times. I can't not put that on my list. I've only seen The Empire Strikes Back maybe 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So, yeah. So I finally put Aliens on there. Is that where we are? I totally forgot. Where are we talking?
So we just did my number 4. We're going to your number 3.
Oh, we have to wait for Aliens because it's up on your list.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So my number 3 is The Thing.
The Thing, yeah. John Carpenter's was a good one. It's on my honorable mention, but not on my list.
I mean, that movie changed my life. I went into the priesthood after seeing this movie.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But you know what I mean? It was like I walked out of the theater like, I don't know what just happened to me, but I'm going to buy another ticket and go back in and find out.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I remember it took me weeks to go see it because the poster was so scary. Just that guy, the light coming out of his face. I don't know why. I grew up watching the original, on television, and it was pretty scary as a kid. And it's just basically a Frankenstein movie.
Yeah.
But I had seen a little bit of let's see, what year did The Thing come out?
I don't.
Oh, 82.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so in 82 I had not seen a lot of the prosthetics yet that they kind of invented for this movie. And I was just wow, I could not believe what I was seeing. I absolutely fell in love with this movie. So yeah, so it had to make it on the list. What's your number 3? Cool.
Aliens.
There we go.
There we go. Oh man, we saw that movie. We walked out. We had to go home and have a stiff drink. Yeah. It was like, oh, I am not going to sleep yet.
Yeah. Aliens was funny because I was overseas at the time, and it was one of the movies that came to the base. Mm-hmm. But I was actually on swing shift at that time, so I was going to miss it. But if we could get enough people to sign up, then they would do an extra show at midnight after our shift ended. And so I went around and I told everybody, you got to watch this movie. It's great, blah, 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 blah. And so they did it. And we went to the movies afterwards. And I was with a really good friend of mine who was on my shift. And she yelled at the screen the entire movie. She was so scared. She was like, don't you go in there. Don't you go in there. Why are you going in there? Well, don't open that door.
Look up.
So I was, half the time, I was completely involved in the film because it is just gripping, adventure film. And the other half, I was just laughing my ass off at her. So funny. And of course, then I went and saw it again. Without her help. And just like, whoa, I mean, this is an insanely intense movie.
Oh, yeah. And but at the same time, there are some great sort of comedic lines.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. It's a quotable movie.
Nuke it from orbit. That's right. The only way to be sure.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes.
The one that I always remember, though, for me was because the one, it was from the commercial, the trailer, right? Mm-hmm. That's inside the room, man. When they're that scared the crap out of me. And of course, we didn't know it was an adventure film.
Yes,
because we'd all seen Alien, and that was a horror movie, right? And so when the commercials came out and they were scary, I was like, well, this is going to be another horror film, and it's going to scare me as badly as Alien did. It's just more people to die.
Yes.
But it is a stroke of freaking genius, and Bill Paxton, is a genius in there. The characters of Snowman, Iceman, and Ramirez.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
yeah, like, whatever.
Anybody ever mistake you for?
No,
you.
Yeah. And of course, I found out years later that the woman who played Ramirez. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, what is her name? I'm going to edit this because I'm going to look it up right now. Because everyone out there is going to be thinking, this guy doesn't remember her name is whatever. Aliens, 1986. Such a good year. Okay, here we go. Vasquez.
Oh, Vasquez, yes.
And I found out later that Vasquez is played by a red-headed, pale-skinned Jewish woman.
Yes.
So there's a little bit, because there's a lot of consternation right now about brown face and black face, and people are just picking up on this, and it's starting to hit the fan, you know. But she did a great job, and, you know, it was just it was so interesting, because I don't think I'd ever seen a badass female character yet.
Oh, she just put it up a notch.
Yeah, she said she went into to actually a screen test for some other part, but she had been struggling with her weight, so she had started weightlifting, and she was jacked at that time, and so she came in, and they were like, "Oh, you know what? We have this big gun that we need a woman to carry," and she's like, "I can carry it."
No problem.
Yeah.
Oh, Sigourney Weaver just did a great. Just strong female lead.
Yes.
Just,
yeah. No, we had seen her do strong female leads before. What I mean is a badass, a physically strong, weapon, you know, wielding, you know, woman that just I think this may have been the first. You know.
Yep.
So yeah, it was an incredible film, a hell of a ride. You know.
Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, that was good.
Okay, so we so now it's my number two.
Your number two.
Because I'm gonna get fired from this job. I can't keep track.
Okay. You're fired.
Yeah. Number two, and this one went on and off the list because you can call it a horror movie and not a science fiction film, but it also had some of the best science fiction I'd ever seen. Alien.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Alien was on my back, you know, my honorable mention.
Alien was the first film that gave me the feeling of working in space.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You had the blue-collar guys down in the belly. You had a factory. You know, these people were on contracts. They weren't, nobody was, you know, zipping around the universe. They were just trying to get their haul home and get paid.
Yep.
And I just thought that it just gave it a reality that you hadn't seen before. And then, you know, the xenomorph.
and holy crap.
Oh, my God. The scene. I mean, I went with it. So Monty wouldn't go, obviously.
Yes.
And so I had a friend. And so his girlfriend and Monty went to a bar and waited for us to go see the movie and come back. And then we were going to, you know, party that night. And so he and I
That was in the before times.
Yes. Back when people used to be together.
Yes.
And we came out of that movie as white as a sheet of printer paper.
Yes.
I mean, there was, you know, it was like, it's one of those things where you're the last knuckles on your fingers hurt because you've been squeezing the chair so badly. And so we drive across the street to the bar, and we go in and we sit down, and we're just like, a pitcher? Give me two pitchers. Just get beer here now.
Here now.
I mean, if I had known it was a horror movie, I might not have really gone, you know. But if you remember, the trailer was just in space, no one can hear you scream. That was it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yes, it was a great movie.
So my number two
But I could only put one Aliens on my...
Like I said, just at the last minute, I made a swap edit with for Aliens, but I just could not leave that off. What's your number two?
The Terminator, 1984.
Oh, my God. I forgot The Terminator.
Yes. Do you feel bad?
I do, because, I mean, that should be number one. Actually, it should be number two.
Yes.
It is
number two.
It's not even on my list.
Oh, yeah.
I missed
it. Well, let's talk about it then.
I missed it when I was going through year by year. Somehow I missed... Oh, that's crazy. Well, this has invalidated my entire list. We have to start over in an hour.
Do this again.
I'm gonna go back in. I'm going to cut, you know. Yeah, I mean, when I... Terminator was the first action-adventure film that really had a lot of heart to it. It was almost a love story, but, you know, right? And it was like that... When I saw that movie, I thought... That's how you do it. That's how you make people care. That's why all these other films are failing. It's because no one cares about the characters. It's just people running and shooting. This was so big So good.
This was people running and shooting, and you cared.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, there was a huge story for it.
Yeah.
It was such a sleeper. Nobody knew about it, and suddenly it was like, you have to go see this movie. I'd never heard of it, and it was like, oh man, just
yeah. The only thing that I wish, the trailer gave away the fact that Arnold was the Terminator.
Yeah.
Because if
yeah.
you watch the movie, you're actually not supposed to know which one is the Terminator until mm-hmm. he says, "Come with me if you want to live."
Yeah.
And that would have been even better, right? Because you wouldn't know. They kind of gave it away. But yeah, oh boy, I remember seeing that movie and just like, okay, well, rewind and watch it again.
Yep. Yeah. It was just phenomenal. Time travel stories, we've got them before, but this one just, you know, it's like, I'm coming back to prevent them from killing my mother.
Yes.
And it's just, the connection there and the play back and forth between the future where, you know, just you think about it then and it was like, could that really happen? And you think about it today and like, oh yeah, my God, we're almost...
It's more like, when is it going to happen?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
it could be around the corner. And,
Cameron came up, through the Z-budget films, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he had learned how to be super frugal. And he did a lot with models that really worked. And he got Stan Winston on board, and that really worked. And at the time, we weren't... Because there wasn't CGI, we were pretty tolerating of, you know, rear screen projection, which they had to do a lot of in there, too.
Yes. Yep.
And then, again, you know, we had only seen Schwarzenegger in some kind of ridiculous films like Conan the Barbarian mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Yep. And so, you know, it's like, are we going to go see this movie? You know, it's a mm-hmm. it's a Schwarzenegger film. This, you know, completely changed everything.
Yeah. Well, it certainly vaulted him to the...
Yeah, 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 he's got... Well, actually, the truth is, he is kind of a Terminator in real life, because he...
Yes, he is.
He was already rich before he went into acting, because he decided mm-hmm. he wanted to be rich, and he went into real estate.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Crazy guy. But, absolutely. That really probably should have been number two on my list.
Okay, well, good. We agree on that.
I'm looking at it now, and I'm thinking, Scanner's got to go.
Scanner's got to go.
What are you doing on my list? Get the hell out.
Okay, what's your number one?
Blade Runner.
Oh, yes! Yes! My number one as well.
I figured.
What else could it have been?
I know. I mean, it was hands down. Honestly, for me, the number one would come down to three movies, which could just kind of rotate in and out, and that would be Alien, and The Terminator, and Blade Runner.
Yeah, and that's it. I've just put Aliens instead of Alien, and those are those all. You know, I had a real struggle with which one goes up top.
I remember we saw Blade Runner in Austin right when they were chopping up all the big theaters and making mm-hmm. them into small. But we got to the Capitol Plaza Theater before they chopped it up, and so we got to see it in the big screen mm-hmm. with full surround sound and the whole thing. It was fantastic. It was an incredibly beautiful film. It was mesmerizing.
Yes,
and not your fun
future science fiction.
No, not at all. And I think the guy who probably made that movie was Roy Batty. Mm-hmm. Not Roy Batty, the actor. I can't remember his name now. He just died recently too. I mean, he ad-libbed a lot of the lines that were in there. Mm-hmm. He went and caught that pigeon himself and brought it into the shot. That didn't come from the director. You know, it was incredible what he did for that.
Yeah, it was just really well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it was Harrison Ford at his prime, and Rutger Hauer,
that's who played Roy Batty. Yes.
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 And
just fantastic characterization of an adult child, mm-hmm. you know, and the wonder and the struggle and the using his power, you know, inappropriately. But it was just really well. And just so creepy in some spots.
And I think that Sean Young before she lost her mind.
I fell in love with her then.
Oh, I know. Later came off as the most beautiful woman who's ever lived in that in that movie. I mean, when she walks out the first time in that pencil skirt, I mean, it was just like, what is this? So you can't really argue with Blade Runner being number one. That is is still a hell of a film. It's one of the few Blu-rays I own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll still watch it every now and then. It's incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, I've just loved it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just let's just alternate our honorable mentions.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll have to pick some.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My first honorable mention is Time After Time.
Oh, that was on my honorable mentions, but not there. Let's see. Oh, I didn't cut it down. And we already talked about Escape from New York. What's a good one? Oh, an Alien we talked about. I really liked Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, I forgot about that. What year did that come out?
It came out in 77, but so that's why it didn't make the list, because wasn't clear whether it was just before or just after.
Right.
I think it was after Star Wars, but it was still 77. But it was, it was, again, a completely different cut on, alien encounters.
Mm-hmm.
The
great thing about that movie is the mystery.
Yeah.
Right, because it opens up with just mysterious things, and you don't know what's going on. You don't know if this is a horror movie or a science fiction film or what. It's masterfully done.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
What do you got next?
My next one is Dead Zone.
Oh, that's what I was going to say next, The Dead Zone. Oh, Christopher Walken was awesome in that movie.
Yeah, I had read and loved the book. And, I'm always nervous because they really have a tendency to ruin Stephen King books. And this is one of the best adaptations that they've ever done.
Yep, yep.
Martin Sheen was fantastic as Trump.
Yes. Trump, yes.
All right, what's yours next one?
That's right. That was going to be my next one. I'm going to have to pick one. Let's see.
I'll give you three or four more, because my next three, the only three honorable mentions, are Buckaroo Banzai and Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
So we've already talked about those. Oh, no, this one we haven't talked about. So, you can have a couple extras if you want.
Oh, it's okay. we'd already talked about, I had Mad Max on here and Star Trek and, what was the other one?
Escape
from New York and Dead Zone. And
what about RoboCop?
RoboCop was on my list here. That was another sort of, groundbreaking, different kind of movie, different.
Yeah, that was Peter Weller beginning his long circuit of adding far more gravity to roles than they deserved.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But I think that he really makes that movie. It's a little bit ridiculous. It's because it's Verhoeven, right? So it's always going to be sort of over the top and ridiculous and whatever. But his story is really heartbreaking.
Yeah,
and it's quite good. Yeah, so I was just trimming it. So
I agree. So I'm going to throw Dune in there. simply, I mean, I did. It was it for me. It was because I had read the book.
Mm-hmm.
The movie itself was too choppy, too skippy, whatever. But even given that, I thought it was the the opposite of Star Wars, somebody not escaping from a planet but going to a planet. But I'm really looking forward to the new one coming out.
Oh, yeah, me too. I used to read that book. So I read that book for the first time in seventh grade, and I read it over and over and over again. And my dad was like, you need to read another book,
yes.
Which is what they say to Harry Potter fans now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I read it a lot because it just hit me on all my cylinders. It was just incredible.
Yep.
So when the movie came out, I was in San Angelo, Texas, doing intel training in the Air Force. And so I convinced a whole bunch of my fellow airmen to go to the movie. And, when they nearly kicked my ass afterwards. Why? What did we just sit through? It didn't make any sense to them. And I was like, honestly, I don't know, because that's not the book I read.
Yeah.
You know, in the intervening years, I began to become more favorably disposed to it, because I never saw the whole movie. I would turn on the TV and it would be a scene, right? Mm-hmm. And I would be like, oh, that really helps me visualize what's going on in the book, right? So that's cool. Like when they show the third stage navigator, you know, I never really understood that in the book until I saw it in the movie. And I was like, oh my God, they turn into worms. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes. Yep.
So I started to think, you know, I think it's a better movie than it actually is, than I actually thought it was. So I bought it on Blu-ray. Don't do that.
Okay.
First of all, it is not a good movie. It doesn't make a lot of sense. They ruined a lot of stuff from the book. But worst of all, the special effects are terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and when you see it in Blu-ray and high def, it's terrible.
Yeah, don't do that.
So what about films like the Schwarzenegger stuff, like The Running Man?
The Running Man's on my list, right under The Abyss, which is what I was going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, The Abyss. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I thought it was another one of these. I mean, you didn't realize it was science fiction. I mean, sort of science fiction. Mm-hmm. It's inner space kind of thing. Thing at the bottom of the ocean, you know, very believable. It was a drill platform at the bottom of the ocean. It wasn't, you know, some research station that was all shiny and polished.
Yeah, they were working men, right?
Yeah.
They were just working men. That was their job. And that was another thing that Cameron, you know, brought to it, was the fact these are people doing their jobs. And that makes the science fiction feel more real.
Yeah, and it was just, and then you start to get these twists about, you know, just something happening, and when the water thing came out, you know, when the cohesive water monster whatever thing came out, and, you know, and she poked it in the, you know, and it was like, wow. Yeah. First of all, great graphics for the time.
Oh, that was the prototype for the T-1000.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a big deal, and I remember I had, you know, Michael Bane plays the hero in Terminator and the villain in this movie, so, and, you know, he comes off as a hero, so it was a little bit jarring, you know, as he starts to fall apart from the deep pressure problem.
Yeah,
it was a great film. It was a little bit too long, did not like the ending.
Yep. But the right up until the the Close Encounters of the Third Kind ending. It was I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do your last one.
My last honorable mention is kind of weird, but it's The Fly.
Oh, that's on my list too.
Yeah.
That's not weird. Yeah. That was creepy bad.
Yeah. And again, I was overseas and saw this on base when it came out, and I it's so weird. I watched the movie, and I was at the base theater with friends, and we watched it, and they were so grossed out. I thought they were going to puke.
Yeah,
and then I was just mesmerized. I just thought, oh my God, this is just one of the best movies I've ever seen. I've always been a big David Cronenberg fan, so this was him with a budget, you know, which you'd never seen before, right? And so I go out and I'm driving home by myself, and all of a sudden I start flashing on a lot of the stuff I had just seen, and I'm worried I'm going to throw up inside my Alfa Romeo. It was so weird. And then I had nightmares about it.
Oh, yeah.
Stress dreams for weeks. You know, it was just crazy.
Yeah, it was the Brundle. Was it? That's the Brundlefly.
The Brundlefly,
the Brundlefly scene. Oh, yeah. It's just, and him taking pieces of his body off and putting them in the medicine cabinet. It was just, oh, God. It was just.
So let me bring up a couple more.
Okay.
Videodrome.
I didn't put that on. I never saw it, so I didn't.
Okay, I saw it, it was very good at the time. I really enjoyed it. I loved Debbie Harry. And you know, it was such a weird mind fuck of a movie. You know, it was just really got in your brain and just twisted it. Another Cronenberg movie, and very good. I enjoyed that. And then the last one I want to talk about is Brainstorm.
Ah, yes.
Brainstorm to me was so fascinating because it was the first time that you saw the process of slimming technology down and consumerizing it, right? Mm-hmm. So usually you have the mad scientist and he comes out of the lab with this completely, you know, finished product, right? Yep. But we start in the lab and they're walking around with this head thing on and there's wires going everywhere, and you know, and by the end of the movie it's this set of like sunglasses.
Yep.
Which I
yep.
thought was fascinating. The only flaw, and this was the reason that I pulled it off the list, was they made a fatal error. You never, never attempt to show people what heaven looks like.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. You just so the Don't ending is there. Just really bad.
Yes. Yeah. Was this the, this was the one where they had the weird-looking tape recorder in the suitcase?
Yes, with, yes. It was, yes, yes, an yeah. optical tape, yes.
Yes, yes. Yes. Yep.
Okay, wait, one
but
more.
But fascinating premise, though.
That, yeah, it really know, was. Like, it really was.
And they, you know, they tape somebody as they die.
Yeah.
What yeah. What is that like?
They this, played yeah, the that was... out again in that movie in about the millennium. Ralph Fiennes with...
Yeah.
What was that called? I can't remember what it was called, but it wasn't a very good movie. But anyway. Oh, wait, one more. I got to ask this. This is sure. a real tent pole for anyone our age. The Last Starfighter.
Oh, I was not, it's on my list.
Yeah.
I just didn't.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it's the video game come to life. It's
exactly.
like what every teenage boy's dream.
Yeah. I was a little old for mm-hmm. its target market, but I loved video games and I loved programming. So it actually hit me right on the money. Yep. And I loved it, and at the time the special effects were out of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. One yeah. last one. Night of the Comet.
I love that movie. It wasn't on my list,
it's
but
just
it's
ridiculous.
Like, yes.
It's just,
yeah,
it was one just of the ridiculous. Things I love about it is it's like the pitch meeting came out of a couple of stone teenagers.
Yes.
Right? And they were, you know, they just threw this stuff together. Their dads overheard it, wrote the script verbatim, gave it mm-hmm. to a director who didn't change a thing. They yep. just they committed to the lunacy 100%, and that's what makes it work.
Yep.
Yes. That's a great one. So, and I still have 20 more on my list.
I know. I just gave up. It's like I can't pick.
Yep. Okay, well, that was good. So next time it's going to be 1990 to 1999.
Yes.
And that, I think, is going to be, no, I'm not going to say it again. I was just going to say it's going to be a little bit easier, but no, every time I say
no,
that,
it's not. No, it's not.
I always forget. Right now, I'm already trying to decide if we should put the bug movie on. What was it called? The Starship Troopers.
Oh, Starship Troopers. Oh, yeah, Starship Troopers, yes.
Yeah.
What a campy movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. We did that, and I want to thank everybody for joining us. And you can, as usual, you can send your criticisms about my list to the email address on my website. I'm going to make you work for it. And great. So thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.